Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
We're thrilled to have Annie F. Downs on the show with us today. She's written several books, and one of them is That Sounds Fun. We've had a lot of fun with Annie. And now, Annie, you've written a children's book. This is cool.
Yes. Yes.
So happy to know you.
It has been so fun. It's such a gift to get to kind of take that some of the same concepts that I love talking about to grown-ups and talking to kids about them as well.
Yeah. So I read through this book. It's a blast. And it seems like this book is all about getting our kids to think about things differently, think about themselves differently. And I'll just say that raising a kid in this social media world that we're in right now, it's not easy. Especially when it comes to your self-esteem, what you think about yourself. So I'm just curious, where did this come from for you?
Well, I used to teach elementary school. Do y'all know that part of my story? That I used to be a fourth grade teacher and a fifth grade teacher. I taught 2 years of fifth grade and 3 years of fourth grade. And so actually at the beginning of So Happy to Know You, you'll see it's dedicated to the students that I taught when I was teaching school. And what I experienced when I was doing that was how much I wanted to remind the kids that they were made on purpose, that who they are is exactly who God intended them to be. And so for me, it really mattered when I was writing this book, thinking back now, I was a teacher when I was 22 and I'm 43, right? So those kids are now in their 30s. It's been so fun, y'all. I have gotten to mail copies of the book to about half the kids that I taught.
Oh, cool.
Oh, it has been the sweetest. Finding them on Facebook, seeing their lives, seeing them all like grown up with their own kids. But that's who I was thinking of when I was writing this book. I was thinking back to these students and how I wished they could experience this conversation with me again. And especially when I taught in public school and this was a faith conversation. And I really honored that separation when I was a teacher. And now I get to be open about my faith with them and put this book in their hands. And so that's what it was about, was like, can you help kids when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, get this concept of, man, the unique thing about you is the best thing about you.
That is so true. I mean, we love to celebrate the individual and who they really are. Isn't that why we like people, their uniquenesses?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because that's so often, I think, what we can feel most insecure about, but it's what endears us to others.
Right.
So it's really fun to celebrate that. Now, you recently asked your audience to help you celebrate an amazing teacher, because we all have those teachers that you look back, they had a lasting impact. They really just helped you along the way and inspired you. And part of the grand prize, which I thought was fun, is you get to go, they get to have you come to the school and read the book. So how did that go? Tell us about that experience.
Yes. So we had hundreds of teachers nominated, which was so fun. All these families, all these parents said, man, this teacher in our kids' lives helped our kid understand that they were made on purpose. And then we picked 50 of those, and 50 of those teachers, we sent a letter and a book and a little Annie doll and an Amazon gift card to help them finish out their Amazon wish list for their classroom. And then of those 50, we picked one, and it'll be at the beginning of 2024 when I get to go to the classroom and read the book to that class. But it's just been incredible to see, especially as a former teacher, to see this book in classrooms and see it in public school libraries and see people buying copies for their house and copies for their church library and then copies for their library at their school. I worked really hard with my publisher and with my editor to make sure that this book could have a gospel story but fit in a public school classroom. And so it's just so sweet to see it out there and getting to hear from these teachers who didn't know they were nominated, didn't know that they were going to get this gift, has been the most fun.
Love that. Teachers are so often forgotten or criticized. And I know my daughter was a school teacher and it's difficult. And I think the parent unit is like one of the biggest difficulties sometimes. So this is wonderful, a way to just let the teachers know how much they really are appreciated. And speaking of that, I think about the kids and how kids, sometimes they just don't know any different. And that's the very thing they pick on. are the differences between each other. So true. I so appreciate, as I read through this book, that you show so many different types of kids that are there in the classroom, from what they do to the way they look, their abilities, the way they live, the way of demonstrating the so happy to know you culture. It's just, it's beautiful. Wish this was around when I was a kid. I'll just say that. Yeah. Maybe it put a halt to some of that bullying.
That's right. And my goal really was, when I was working with our illustrator, Jenny Poe, who's just incredible, when we were working together, I kept saying to Jenny, like, I want every kid I taught to see someone who looks something like them. Either their hair color or their skin color, or their abilities, their sports they love, the hobbies they love. This is actually my second kid's book. The first one is called What Sounds Fun to You. And in both of these kids' books, we wanted kids to see themselves in some way. We can't show every kid on the globe, right? But we can show a variety of interests and skills and family backgrounds, and trying to help kids see themselves. And the reality is, y'all know this, is that the number one thing that separates us on the internet is picking on the thing that is different about the person on the other side of the internet from us.
Yeah.
And so it is unfortunately not a skill that stops when you leave the playground. It is a skill that bullies have continued into their adult life. And so my hope is that even, you know, a funny thing, this happens a lot when I would read kids' books to my kids when I was teaching, because even as I taught fourth and fifth grade, we used picture books all the time to help us talk about how to form sentences and how to use adjectives and how to form a paragraph and how illustrations help. And so all elementary school classrooms can use this. And I have had multiple parents and teachers say, I wish you'd have told me to read this one time by myself before I read it out loud in front of my classroom, because it made me tear up.
Oh, wow. Yes. That's neat. You know, I picked up on something, Annie, as I was reading through your book.
Okay.
That you were careful not to have this just be about the child's appearance or a skill that maybe they're good at, but it really had to do with a uniqueness in that child. What was your angle there? What were you trying to accomplish?
Well, none of us look like we did when we were five, right? So complimenting a five-year-old and having them pick, because throughout the book, as y'all know, you know, the goal is, can you pick an adjective that describes you that can stick with you? So when the rest of the world is trying to tell you who you are, so for me, I always say, I'm always Annie. I'm just always Annie. Like, no matter where I show up, I'm going to always be Annie. And so I'm always Annie. That has nothing to do with how I look, because my hair looks different today than it did yesterday.
Right.
And so I don't want any of us, young or old, to think the best thing about us is how we look in any way today, because that is constantly changing based on the weather, right? Like, if it's raining outside my apartment and I walk outside and get soaking wet, everything changes. Mm-hmm. And so if I've built my entire joy of who I am around how I look when I'm dry, that can change pretty quickly. And so wanting kids to go, no, and actually you're having two eyes, a nose, and a mouth is not the most interesting thing about you. The most interesting thing about you is this unique part of your personality, the things you love, the things you pursue, what you're good at. Like, that is what makes you different, not the features that you have in your body. And so, yeah, I wanted to lean away from cute Katie and beautiful Barbara and strong Sam. Even though those may be true, I'm a strong Annie, but not every day. And so I wanted us to help our kids and ourselves pick describing words that talked about the deeper things. Because I think if we can get elementary school kids to think about the deeper things when they get to middle school, maybe some of them will keep thinking about the deeper things. And we can just over time lighten the emotional load of growing up and trying to figure out who you are, because we helped our kids figure it out when they were younger.
That's so good, because I think about really good friends that we all have. Mm-hmm. They look past all that as well. It's not so much how you look. It's who you are on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, that's been one of the funny things since 2020. A bunch of my friends and I have been using Marco Polo. Do y'all know this app?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like you're making videos. You're leaving video voicemails for each other all the time. Well, what it has ended up doing is my friends and I see each other like right after a workout because we want to say something, or right when we wake up, or when you're still got your towel in your hair and you're putting your makeup on in the morning. People that I have never shared a house with see me get ready every day now, right? So if our friendship was based on me looking my best, I couldn't actually be fully Annie with my people, because sometimes I need to Marco Polo before my makeup's on or before my hair is done or after the day is over and I'm laying in bed and processing something. And so I think I'm grasping that better as an adult, that I don't have to show up the best Annie every time I show up. But the gift is to show up for people. And so can we teach our kids and ourselves? I mean, that's what happens when you read kids' books. It's why all of us still love Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is because even though C.S. Lewis meant that for children, we are all moved at the idea that Aslan exists and that he is near to the children. And so hopefully, though I am not, I mean, y'all know me, we've been friends long enough, I'm not comparing myself to C.S. Lewis. I'm just saying that as all of us who write for children, if we also put in our brains, man, how would this help my friends? It gives us a deeper meaning behind the kids' books that we write.
And it's interesting. You were talking about like just lightening the emotional load of growing up, which is so difficult. And I look back on my childhood experience and the people that, you know, my family who I loved and trusted, there was still something when they told me all of the positive attributes about myself in the back of my mind. I go, well, you're saying that because, like, I'm your kid. I'm your grandkid. You have to say that stuff. Even though, like, you know, as an adult, that's not true. Like, that's
so
kind
like
of
an inner disclaimer.
Exactly.
That goes, ah.
It's harder for me to accept, I think, something a lot of times from somebody that I love, because you're like, well, I'm special to you, so of course you're going to say that. And so I appreciate that there is a third party, so to speak, coming alongside these kids and reinforcing that. You don't have to say that stuff about anybody. You don't have to plant that idea. But I think that there is something about, a book from an impartial party that is really gonna help solidify that message.
Yeah, thanks. And I mean, the other thing, man, if we were sitting and having coffee and we were talking about this, so let's pretend we are, I think the other conversation I'd want us to have is like, what if it is because they love you? Is that not enough? Is it not okay that you're being complimented and told how wonderful you are because you're loved?
Mm-hmm.
And because there are so many adults, I mean, how many friends do y'all have that are lonely, like deeply lonely in their lives, and no one is telling them how wonderful they are? No one is telling them their gifts and their talents and their beauty that is on the inside. And so I want kids to, if a kid said back to me, you only say that because you love me, I'd be like, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I am telling you that because I love you. And I want you to know what is true, because there will be days when you sit in your life and you are not sure who loves you or what is true, and you'll remember me. And so I'm with you that I felt that too, like from my family. And the thing that I've been probing in myself and thinking about in myself is, if those are the people who tell you what is true about yourself, can it be enough?
I like that too.
Yeah, that's good.
That is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good lesson for all of us.
Right?
Yeah. Me too. Me too. That's why it's fresh on my brain.
Love it. You know, as I can just see as a family and going through this book and seeing yourself, it's just the very best thing is that you are always you. I love that, because I'm picturing going through this book and we're seeing the visual of all the differences of the kids and what they're going to experience when they go out through through that front door. And we're so happy to know you. I love that teacher in you had to come through, where at the back you use the alphabet and you hide little pictures in there for them to seek and find. Tell me about this. So many layers in this book.
I mean, that is so much Jenny Poe, my illustrator, right? I always say to Jenny, okay, will you hide things on every page? Will you go back? Because there's ladybugs everywhere. She hides ladybugs on almost every single page. And so there's fun things like that. That just super matters to me that, I don't know about y'all, but I grew up reading Where's Waldo books, reading, the one sentence on those pages. But I grew up loving that, because I love that I could sit on one page and look for a long time at that one page. And so I want to write kids' books that kids pull off their shelves at home or at school, that they linger, that they linger on a page and go, where is that ladybug? And the other thing that's fun, I think y'all have seen this, in the front and the back of the book, there are 800 or 900 different kids' names with adjectives attached. And those are all people who follow me on Instagram or listen to the That Sounds Fun podcast, and they submitted their kids' names with the adjective that describes them best. And so that has been so fun too, because people, I mean, I had one little friend named Lisa who found another Lisa, and she was like, Annie, did you put that in there for me? And I was like, I lie or do I tell the truth? And I was like, someone put that in there. Is that word true about you? And she's like, it is. And I was like, then it's yours. And that was the most I could say without telling a lie. And so, you know, having those extra things in there, I grew up loving books. And I don't think, no matter what technology does and how technology advances, books are not stopping being published, hopefully ever. And so I love that my childhood was full of books that I lingered in and stayed in. And I want to make books like that too for kids, so that maybe when they're 14 and they're thinking about giving it away, they read it one last time because they loved finding the ladybugs when they were little.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And searching through the front and the back for their name.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm looking.
That's awesome.
Now I'm trying to find mine.
I know. Everyone does. It's so fun. And that's why we don't put them in alphabetical order on purpose, so that there's a little bit of time to look around.
Oh, that's fun. I like that. Am I mistaken? Is there some of you in this book in your childhood?
Oh, yeah. Of course. I mean, the only thing we know how to write is who we are, right?
Right.
And so absolutely that's true. What is wild is Jenny drew the grandmother in the book, not having any idea what my grandmother looks like. And the grandmother in the book looks just like my mom's mom.
Well, that's crazy.
And who passed away, you know, a decade ago. And so it's just a beautiful thing. But yeah, throughout, I mean, the reason I need to tell this story to kids is I needed to hear it too. I needed to know that the things that were different about me were the things that made the best parts of me. In the back of the book, you'll see, I think y'all will love this story. I don't think I've told this anywhere. In the back of the book, there is an illustration of little Annie riding a zebra. And about 2 years ago, a friend of mine was praying for me. And she said, I have the weirdest picture in my head. I see you riding a zebra. And I was like, why don't people ride zebras? And she said, yeah, that's exactly my question is, why has God invited you to do the thing that no one else is doing, but totally makes sense?
Oh, that's cool. I like
that. And I thought, yeah, why don't we ride zebras? And so something we say around the office all the time is, if we see a thing to do, we try to turn it from a horse to a zebra. What makes it a little bit different? What makes it a little bit more uniquely and a little bit more Annie? And we call it, that's how we ride zebras. And so when Jenny was doing this, I mean, just to your question about where I am in this book, I'm the one riding the zebra, right? Like, we try to do things and feel that God has invited us to do things that may look a little different than some of our peers are doing it. And that's okay, because we ride zebras. And so I even stuff like that feels so, Easter eggs like that in the book, like my grandmother and the zebra, feel like these moments of almost a time capsule of me too.
Yeah, let's talk about your childhood. Is this a book that you needed growing up?
Yeah, I think so. I was the oldest in my family, and I just always kind of wondered why I was different, you know, which I think everyone does. But I always kind of thought, why don't they like what I like? And why don't they think about it this way? And why do me and my siblings have all these different likes and dislikes? And so I think so much of what I hope to write with this, what I hoped I wrote with So Happy to Know You, is honoring the little Annie that wanted to hear, hey, this is great about you. This thing that you love, I mean, it's the reality of fun, right? Is even I can be convinced in our world today that fun doesn't matter. And that in the faith space, to talk about fun is immature, and it is not serious, and it's not important. And the more mental health work I did with my therapist, and the more I talked with God and my community and my mentor about it, the more I started realizing, like, no, God made me to talk about this, to remind us of the spiritual beauty and importance of fun. And so even as a grown-up, I need reminders that what I'm called to is different than what everyone else is called to in some ways. And it's why I tell people who want to write books, you should write a book, because someone may have heard a story like yours. They haven't heard your story.
Right.
And so someone may need to hear your story. And that's how I feel about So Happy to Know You.
You know, when we're kids, and I don't want to speak for others here, but this is just me. I think that you see a kid or you see somebody maybe a little older and you want to be like them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you sort of don't like who you are. And so I love what you're doing here. And I think that's kind of continued into adulthood for a lot of us.
Oh, 100%.
Certainly.
Yep. Still there.
Yep.
Yeah.
So to point out uniqueness is great, and that's fine, because man, I don't know why it is as a kid. It's like, I didn't even like my own name. I wanted to be called Dan. What in the world is that?
Great name. Strong name.
Yeah, right. Dan? I mean, come on. It's just silly. It's like, I don't understand that.
All these years of working together, I did not know that.
I didn't either. Okay. That's so funny.
Dan came.
He's a Dan in his heart.
Oh, my goodness. I do like it. Yeah, I think, you know, and again, if we can some of this stuff that I struggle with now, I'm like, if I could have just grasped it when I was younger and held to it, it would have made adulthood so much easier. Yeah, so much easier.
That's right. And I think that's still true for so many of us. So the option is, because we can't go back and do it again, what can we do? Well, we can help the next generation miss some of the road bumps that we ran into. I'm not married yet, don't have kids yet, so I can't do that in my home, but I can do that with my friends' kids. Mm-hmm. And I can do that as part of the village that I'm a part of, where I am helping raise the kids around me. And I can do that through books. And so I'm exactly like you, where I think, man, what I would give if sixth grade Annie had a better understanding of the ways God made her was on purpose. I can't go back and fix that. What I can do is try to meet some other people before they bump into the sixth grade version of themselves and help cut off any of the unnecessary pain, and also walk with them when they walk through the necessary pain that helps you grow up.
That's good.
Yeah. What do you think parents really need right now?
Yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you, I'm from Nashville, and I've lived in Nashville for 15 years. A lot of my friends have elementary school aged kids. And we recently this year walked through a real tragedy in our community and in an elementary school that a lot of my friends' kids attend. And I have seen up close how much parents need support and how much parents need other adults to step in 1,000 ways. I cannot be the parent for someone else's kids that I do not birth or raise, right? Like, I can't be their primary parent, but I can be another parenting voice, another mothering voice in their life. And that's what I've seen most profoundly this year is our community gathering around and parenting each other and parenting each other's kids, and really walking with each other through tragedy and questions and concerns and worries. And it happens in every community in one way or another, right? And it's going to happen when kids have a bad day at school, just as much as a school-wide tragedy. There's ways that other adults can step in. But that's what I've seen most profoundly in the last year of co-parenting with my friends, is how much support parents need from other adults.
That's good. I love this book. I think that we all should be reading it as adults. Mm. Just to do a little healing, and think back, just as we've been talking, go ahead and talk to that fifth grade Sally in that classroom that felt so lonely and alone. And it's just so healing. And look for your name in there.
Yeah, it's a real spiritual practice, isn't it? To go back in your mind. I mean, I am such a big believer that God gave us an imagination for a reason. And to use a sanctified and really redeemed imagination to go back and even take a minute and tell that Sally what you needed to hear, and let Jesus use that to heal. I think that is so important. And so that's what I hope we get to do in this, is kids who read it for the first time before they bump into those moments, but then also older kids and adults get to go, yeah, if I could say anything to the younger version of me, what would I say? And imagine saying that to yourself.
That's good. Annie, I appreciate, you know, like I alluded to earlier, of a daughter with special needs in a wheelchair. You got a kid with a wheelchair there. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to keep up with our friends who can roll faster than we can walk. So we gotta know that when soccer is on, that they're in too.
Yeah.
And so, we want our friends, we have kids throughout the book with different abilities so that our friends like your daughter can see herself in a book. And so that the rest of us can remember in a page spread all the different kids that could exist in our lives right now. So that when we see one of our friends in a classroom in a wheelchair, it isn't shocking. It isn't the first time we've ever seen it. It is, oh my gosh, that's just like the guy in the book. I know exactly what it's like because I saw that in a book. And that's what we hope for kids with hearing aids or kids with crazy curly hair or kids with glasses, kids of a different skin tone, a different family background, that the first time our kids interact with them is kinder and gentler because they saw it first in a book.
I love that.
You know, so good.
You know, what's interesting is when we take my daughter out in public, sometimes we get stares from kids and sometimes we don't. And I know the difference. And that is those are children that have been exposed to this.
Sure.
It's not weird to them.
How old is your daughter?
She's now 20. Okay. And she's severely disabled. So we're going to take care of her probably for the rest of our lives. But those schools have done a good job of making sure that other kids see, you know, kids with disabilities. And now it's now typical, you know, it's normal. Yeah. And I love that. That's a great motivation there. That's awesome.
And, I mean, kudos to you as a parent, because also having our children around people who have different abilities than us, also does a lot for the kids to get that exposure.
Exactly.
Whereas you're saying, we take her out. She goes with us everywhere we go. She's part of the family. Of course she does. And so you're giving this opportunity for kids to maybe have that newer exposure, that first exposure to go, oh, look, this is community. This is society. This is who I get to be around. These people are gifts. We are all gifts in each other's lives. And so well done you for giving us an opportunity to love someone that is probably an easy, wonderful friend for a lot of people.
Oh, that's I love that, Annie. Thank you.
There's something I love about you, Annie, and it's your podcast. And so I'm a potty. And I've been listening.
You're a what?
I'm sorry,
what?
I'm a potty.
Podcaster.
You listen to them in the restroom. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, apparently. A lot of people do.
Oh, Kangle Fritz. We are talking about kids here. So.
Yes. So happy to know you. Oh, I love it. So good.
Well, I know that Annie has just made a big move, and I can't resist hearing your story about where we're talking to you from.
Yes. So I'm in New York City. I've been in Nashville for 15 years. I came up to New York for just a couple of months. I have kind of always wanted to live here in some form or fashion for the last decade or so of my life. I've thought, man, I think I would love, every time I came to visit, I would love it. And so I came up for New Year's in January. And when I came back home to Nashville, I sat with my management and my team, and I just said, I know our spring and fall are really crazy and already scheduled out. Is there a world that 10 months from now, I could go up to New York for a month? And let me tell you what my manager said. I think y'all are gonna love this. My manager, Kelly, said, I don't want you to go for 1 month. I want you to go for two. Because after 1 month, you won't have had a bad day, most likely. And you won't have had your groceries spill out of the bottom of the bag. It won't have rained on you. And you won't have had to persevere and grow your character. But if you stay for 2 months, something's going to make you persevere. And I thought, man, that is such good wisdom. So I'm here for a couple of months. And it's just been wonderful so far. I mean, I'm 2 weeks in. The first 8 days, there were a lot of challenges of just figuring out a life on foot versus a life in a car. And when I leave in the morning and I'm not coming home till after dinner, I have to have everything I need on my body, And so it's just making me think so differently. I'm like, do you have deodorant? Because you have to have deodorant before dinner, things like that I don't have to think about in Nashville because I can pop from here to there and everywhere and keep things in my car I can't do here. So I'm just gaining a whole new skill set, which is really fun and really challenging. I mean, y'all should have seen me yesterday. These these pillows that are on my couch, I bought them yesterday from Home Goods, but Home Goods is 30 blocks from me. So I'm just like three big bags lumbering down the street. One of the handles ripped. So I've got one bag on one arm, one bag on the other arm, and I'm squeezing the other in the middle. And I was like, I am earning a stamp in my, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere passport, because this is New York life that I would not be doing in Nashville. This would already be in my trunk and I'd just be driving it back to my house. I wouldn't even be thinking about carrying it 30 blocks.
Yeah, you're going to get exercise, that's for sure. Yeah,
that is the truth. I'm like getting 10,000 steps on accident.
Man. So happy to know you, Annie F. Downs. Thank you so much. People want to know more about you, talk about your podcast and how your website and all that stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I love getting to chat with y'all. So thank y'all for making time today. So the podcast is called That Sounds Fun. We also have a podcast for kids called the Mini BFF Podcast, and there will be new episodes coming on that in the new year of 2024. And I have a podcast called Let's Read the Gospels. I don't know if y'all know about this one, but what I've been doing is reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in different orders and in different versions every month. If you read three chapters a day, you get through all the four books in a month. So we've been doing that all year as well. So those are available for potty people. And the books are So Happy to Know You is wherever you love to buy books. If you have a local bookstore, go there. They'll either have it on the shelf or they can order it for you, or it's available online as well. And then everything you need to know about me is at AnnieFDowns.com. And everywhere you want to find me, it's Annie F. Downs, like F as in fancy. Because did y'all know there's another Annie Downs? Do you know this story?
What?
No, you're the only one.
Thank you. You're she is a only... very famous quilter in Australia.
Oh. Wow.
So we got to put the Annie F everywhere, because the other Annie Downs, you will be surprised. If you looked at the Annie Downs hashtag on Instagram, it's about 40% me and about 60% quilting patterns. It's incredible.
That's funny. I looked up Sally Barton, and she is an artist in England.
Wow.
She paints things I wouldn't think of painting. So
What a very nice way to say that, Sally.
Like, look at that.
That's awesome. Thank you, Annie. Really appreciate your time. Yeah, good
thanks.
Stuff.
Thanks, friends. Grateful to see y'all.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.